everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. We hope you're having a fabulous Monday so far. We wanted to start off today with a quote from Elder Robert D. Hills, who is a member of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, and it's a talk he gave in General Conference, October 2011, entitled, Waiting Upon the Lord, Thy Will Be Done. And this is a quote about the Savior that we wanted to share with you today. Here it is in Elder Hill's own words.
I express gratitude that in my Gethsemane and in yours, we are not alone. He that watches over us shall neither slumber nor sleep. His angels are here and beyond the veil and round about us to bear us up. I bear my special witness that his promise is true. For he says, they wait upon the Lord and shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May we wait upon him by pressing forward in faith, that we may say in our prayers, Thy will be done, and return to him with honor.
That's a great quote about the Savior, that he can renew our strength and give us literally strength to keep going. There was a new Mormon message that came out recently, and maybe you've had a chance to see it. It's actually a three-part series entitled Daily Bread. So there's three separate Mormon messages, but it's a series. They all go together. We had the opportunity to interview Melissa Puente, who is the producer of Daily Bread, and she lives in L.A., so we're able to interview her by phone, and we wanted to play a portion of our interview with her for you today. Are you ready? Here we go. Melissa, thank you for joining us on the Mormon Channel today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be talking to you.
This is kind of fun to have you on the phone today because, unlike some of our other Mormon messages that are produced here, you are a guest producer. Now, I know you live in L.A., but it's so great that you were involved with this project. Can you tell us how you became involved with this particular Mormon message?
Sure. I have been doing projects for the church for a long time, ever since I quit working full-time in the industry and have been at home. I used to work as an editor and as a producer on a lot of different shows that were broadcast nationally on cable networks and some of the major networks as well. And I decided to stop working when I became a mom. I had twins, and we had some fertility challenges and things like that, but I just had to kind of quit working cold turkey. The hours were really long for what I was doing, and I just kind of figured that I was not going to really go back to production or post-production. And it was really fun to have some opportunities from the church come my way because it was a work that I found a lot more fulfilling than the work that I had done previously. And it also allowed me to kind of stay home and just sort of do it here and there. You know, I just thought that I was kind of done with all of it, and it's been really nice to have the Lord be like, actually, we're going to have you do a little bit more of this, but it's going to be different than you were doing it before. You're going to be able to put your family first as you do it.
Now, I understand that these Mormon messages were started by another producer, but then you kind of took over and finished them?
Yeah, I got a call from somebody over at the church saying, you know, we've got this Mormon message that we've been having some trouble with and are wondering if you could take a look at it and kind of help us with it. I was really happy to do that.
This Mormon message is kind of fun because it's a three-part series featuring the story from the Old Testament of the children of Israel about the manna, as well as an interview with Elder Christofferson that talks about it.
Elder Christofferson, one of the things that he talked about a lot in the interview was how our need for physical nourishment and sustenance mirrors our need for spiritual nourishment and sustenance. And he talked about how the ancient Israelites had this manna that was given to them each day. And the dailiness of this need for manna and how they gathered it was a reminder to them of how they had these spiritual needs that daily needed to be filled, and the Savior was the one who would fill them spiritually. He was feeding them physically, but he also needed to feed them spiritually. And it was this really powerful teaching tool that other prophets referred to hundreds of years later in the scriptures. I was kind of hoping that maybe somebody else had filmed manna in some like seminary video or some Old Testament shoot, and so we could just use that footage.
Had no one ever filmed that scene before with the manna and the children of Israel?
Nobody had ever filmed the children of Israel gathering manna before, or if they had, nobody had remembered seeing it.
So you basically had to start from square one.
So we had to start from square one in how to film what manna might look like. And I actually did a lot of research online to see what other faiths and what other artists have depicted manna as looking like. People throughout the world, you know, not just of our faith, but, you know, anyone who sees the Bible, who sees the Old Testament as sacred scripture, will know this story. There was a mixed multitude of people were fed daily by the Lord for years while they traveled in the Judean wilderness, which is one of the most barren and inhospitable pieces of terrain that the world has, I think. Like, there's nothing there. It's such an analogy to our day and how we are often surrounded by a lifestyle and a society and a way of life that offers us very little in spiritual nourishment. Our society here in North America and in other places in Europe and other parts of the world, our societies actually degrade our spiritual awareness and our spiritual development. And so we have to find ways to feed ourselves spiritually and to connect to God, and we have to put forth that effort. Just like the Israelites had to go out each day, except for, you know, the holy day that was set aside, that they had to go out each day, and they had to put forth that effort to gather in that manna. And so I did a lot of research on what other people depicted manna as looking like, and a lot of people depicted it as looking like little kernels, because it's described as being like coriander seed in the Old Testament, but it's unclear whether it's the color that's like the coriander seed, or is the actual shape and size of it that's like the coriander seed. And I consulted with the scholar at BYU. Actually, we talked about the manna for a really, really long time, and we talked about the manna and the properties of it and how they would have gathered it and what they would have gathered it with, and, you know, what it may have looked like and felt like and tasted like. And it was really interesting because they were able to bake it and they were able to boil it, and they were able to eat it without doing anything to it. It seemed like it was some kind of dough that you could kind of gather together, and yet I actually tried to make a whole bunch of different types of dough and put them outside, and it seemed like it couldn't be a total dough because you wouldn't be able to pick it up without picking up all the sand with it and having insects getting into it. You had a window of time where you could gather your manna before it melted away in the sun. And so you actually had to kind of go out and do it earlier in the morning. I think, you know, part of it is it was a heavenly, it was a divine sort of substance, and probably nothing quite like it exists that we would be able to make or create. But we were able to find a substance that stuck together like a dough and yet also wasn't really sticky. And so that's what we used for the manna. It was really important for me to just make it feel as real as possible.
I think it's so impressive that you are making your own manna, trying to figure it out. That is so cool.
It took me like a week, I'm not going to lie, to try to find a way to portray manna that wasn't going to be, I felt like, just totally distracting or completely ridiculous. It didn't just like come together easily for me.
Wow, I never would have imagined that after seeing it.
Well, good. That's when you know that it's worked, is when people don't even notice.
Now, it's in the second one where Elder Christofferson tells his personal experience, right? That was pretty powerful and really drew me in, where he's telling his personal experience.
I wasn't involved with the project at that point. I really liked that the team beforehand had wanted to get him in a more intimate setting, like away from a pulpit or something else, because there was this personal story where he really talks about how he struggled. And even though it happened a long time ago, you can really see it on his face as he remembers how painful that time was for him.
It made it more real for me. Here's this amazing man, Elder Christofferson, who's in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, but he also faces struggles like the rest of us do. It really personalized it.
Yeah, I think it was interesting to see how his struggles enabled him to draw closer to the Lord. And I think it was really a special thing on his part that he did so, because we all go through different struggles. I think there is sometimes a tendency to think that church leaders just kind of have like a perfect time of it sometimes. You know, a lot of our prophets and leaders have had these really, really intense struggles. And I think it's interesting because we are then allowed to see how the struggles and trials actually probably are a big part of how they are able to grow their spiritual capacities to communicate with the Lord and connect with Him. And without some of those, they wouldn't have been able to do that. We kind of keep hearing, like, trials can be a blessing, we can welcome trials. And I think this is an actual example where, you know, you see him say, like, I am grateful for this experience because of what it did for my relationship with my Savior. It gives all of us hope.
Right, it does. What do you hope that those who watch this particular Mormon message will take away from it?
We kind of talked about the first one, and we talked about the second one, too. One of the things that I really like about the third one is that that's where we get a chance to tie all of the other segments together.
Because this Mormon message, Daily Bread, is a three-part series, there were a lot of fun things to talk to Melissa about. So we're going to play the remainder of our interview with her for you on tomorrow's show. So be sure to join us tomorrow as she goes behind the scenes and tells us about the third Mormon message in the series, Daily Bread. I'm still fascinated at her research and all the effort she put into that, considering that we really don't know what the manna was or what it looked like. She did a great job portraying it. That's the message we wanted to share with you today. Thank you for joining us. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is entitled Pray for Rain, and it's featuring Julie D'Azevedo. Thanks again for being with us, and have a great day.
Like mirages in the sand, we'll never satisfy the need for healing in our land. Don't you think it's time we lift our eyes to the sky and pray for rain? With our arms open wide, we pray for rain. Amid thorns and stony places, amid earth frail. if there